Hey, it's Hillary Clinton, and you're listening to Pod's Pod.
Vote for me, bitches.
Pods Pod. All right, hello and welcome to episode 24 of Pods Pod. How you guys doing? We got the whole crew here. Manny?
Yeah.
Yoshi?
Yoshi!
Hey.
Little Mo.
What's up?
We got two topics today, and I think this is going to be the best show ever. I think this is going to be our best show, and do you guys know why?
Why?
I don't know. Just tell me, because I don't know. I don't know. That was a real question. Do you guys know why this is going to be the best show ever? Give me a reason.
Because we're going to sweep the cubbies.
Wait, what?
We can't sweep the cubbies, Lil Mo. We already lost the first game.
For real? Oh, fuck.
All right, let's move on. So we're going to have a... But we do have a chance to
take this serious.
We do have God a chance to take this serious, and that's why I love baseball, because in 24 hours we went from a really disappointing game. We lost 8-7, even though Alex Rippin' Dicks Dickerson hit a grand slam. We still came up short, but in 24 hours we could go from the despair of disappointment to winning the series, taking a doubleheader from the Cubs and winning the series. So yeah,
you know,
we can't sweep, but we could win the series. Manny,
that was a pretty, you know, it was a bad loss. Well, for the first time, we saw our boy Vargas not put it down. But I was somewhat impressed with that almost rally comeback.
What's interesting is when we don't get shut out, we seem to have a certain degree of fight and ability to score runs. Yeah, I agree.
That was in the bottom of the eighth, bases loaded, no outs, right? Or am I thinking of a different game again?
What the fuck? What was in the bottom of the eighth?
It was bases loaded, right?
What was?
No outs. Padres. Dude,
that probably has happened at some point in the
podcast. I swear to God, this was like yesterday or the day before.
Yeah. Well,
what are you talking about? What happened next?
Nothing. I mean, like, absolutely nothing. But this is the game we're talking about, right? The 8-7?
Yeah, yesterday.
Oh, God, man. You just... All right, I'm out. Later, guys.
All right, we have two topics today. We're gonna critique... and respond to a Kevin Acey article that piqued our interest.
He's so cute.
Yeah. You think he looks like Tom Cruise with white hair, Manny? Is that right? Kevin Acey?
Yeah. I guess I shouldn't have said cute. He's handsome.
Yeah. I think he's handsome. I don't think he looks like Tom Cruise, but...
Like the Tom Cruise of local journalism.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. Most of the people in media and journalism in San Diego are pretty uggs. So, yeah. Yeah, who's better looking than Kevin Acey in San Diego media? I mean, obviously, like the weather women, and you know, like the news stations. But as far as like journalism and radio, not a lot of good looking people.
Damn, that's. Wow, that's true.
Well, Kevin, we know you're listening, and we may destroy your article here in a few minutes, but you win the prize for the most handsome journalist in San Diego. Okay, so we're going to critique his article, And then we're going to play a game called Padres Mark Ass Bitch. And we'll explain that later. all right, so first things first, to the AC article. This was an article written, I think, last week sometime in the UT. The article was titled, quote, "Getting in early on believing in the Padres." And that was the title. The premise of the article was pretty much like, okay, the Padres won't win this year, but with Andy Green, they have like a foundation for success in future seasons. And to support that, he cites improved defense, base running, better approach at the plate, and team chemistry. So the first thing that he – not the first thing, but the first thing I want to talk about in the article – is that he says that overall these Padres are more fun to watch, and they're playing the overall quality of play is better. Although we may not have the quality of players, the overall quality of play is better. If that makes any sense. Just before we get in any more in depth into that, do you guys agree? Just based on the eye test, do you think these Padres are more fun to watch and play better overall than the 2015 Padres?
I think so, because there's no expectations this year. So anything good that happens, we're like, oh shit, nice.
I could see that. So like maybe just our perspective, regardless of whether it's like statistically better or whatever. We perceive them as we give them more breaks, basically, you mean?
Yeah, like we don't, I mean, like you said in that first second episode, that we're projected to have like a historically bad season, and so anything good that comes from it is fun.
Manny, you agree with that?
I think that is a good point. I don't agree. I actually am enjoying watching this team right now. But I was more pumped up last year at this point. Early May, there was still I still believe that we were still going to make a run.
Yeah, I mean, but couldn't that be due to the expectations that were set forth, you know, in preseason?
That's why I thought they were more fun to watch last year at this point, at least. After a while, it became a shit show. But I mean, when the first couple months of 2015 were for me really exciting.
Did we sweep the Cubs or take 2 out of 3? But like, I remember Will Myers performing wonderfully in that series, and after that series, I think that was still like mid-April maybe. But that was we were all. We think we were 10 and, I don't know, at some point we were like 10 and 4 or something, 10 and 6, and it was feeling good. Yoshi, you watch more games than all of us. Do you think, if you can take the expectations out of it and maybe just look at the overall play, do you think that this year's Padres play better overall than the 2015 Padres?
I think they're maybe a little more fun to watch now, because they seem to be, when they're in the game, they're actually in the game, unless they're getting obviously shut out. But I think because of the expectations last year, they had, people were enjoying them more because everyone had that hope that they would do something. But I guess since there's really no expectations, like Little Mo said, you're just like, oh, look, nice, look what they did. Oh, they won a game. Oh, they had so-and-so had a good game today.
Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously there's no right answer to the question. I do definitely agree with two of the points that AC made. I think we're definitely playing better defense. That's obviously due to, whether that's due to coaching or the personnel, I don't know, or probably a combination of both. Base running, do you guys remember like us just fucking up constantly on the base pass last year? I remember having that feeling, like whether it was Buddy or in the Pat Murphy era, Am I right in that? Like, that we used to just make tons of ridiculous base running errors?
Yeah.
But this season, the base running is on point.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So overall, I'd say that we all probably agree with Kevin to some point that our overall play is maybe not worse. It's possibly better, maybe not worse.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, shit. Dude, he probably put a lot of effort and research into making that claim. So.
Yeah.
So, let's take his word for it.
Let's take his word for it. All right. So the second thing that he mentions in the article that I want to talk about, this is what to do with chemistry, which is something that we all love to talk about. I'm going to quote him here. Actually, I'm going to quote him. The Derek Norris quote is next. But AC says, players being removed from games are rooting for the guys replacing them vocally and vehemently. And in doing so, he's implying that we weren't doing that last season. So do you guys see that, like, as spectators on TV and occasionally in the games, do you look at the team in the dugout or on the field and feel like there's more of a rah-rah attitude coming from the players than there was at this point last year, or maybe, you know, overall last year?
I think so. Just by watching them, they seem, I don't know, it just seems like they're more of a team this year. So where last year you would see them a lot just kind of sitting on their own, maybe with just their buddy on the team. But now it just seems like it's a little bit more of a mix. And, I mean, I don't know if you saw that interview that I sent yesterday with Kemp and Upton, just for the fact that he was saying how, who was it, Alexi Ramirez, how he was giving Kemp like this hard time for that day where he thought there was four balls, like he got walked but it was only three balls. Just like little things like that, you're like, oh, I wouldn't be able to see that happen last year. They all kind of seem like, I don't know, they all have maybe like a little power trip going on last year.
It was more cliquish last year. I do remember thinking last year that they were cliquish, and you'd see Jed like only hanging out with Spangy, and so.
Well, and this is one inside source told me, and I'm not making this up, that in the I guess like the lounge area where they eat before the games, that they eat in an order of kind of like the jobbers first, like basically the most of the team eats at one time, and then afterward come in like the top dogs, then afterward come in Myers, Melvin, Kemp. And there was just an observation that this person made inside of there, that he thought was interesting.
Can you explain what a jobber is, Manny, for those of just us like, who don't know?
Like the scrubs, the non-star players.
And that's this season that the jobbers are eating separately from the
main guys. This was like 2-3 weeks ago that was relayed to me.
Hmm.
Which I don't know. I mean, maybe it was, you know, maybe there's, this was just on one occasion that this person noticed this. But I thought that was interesting because it contradicts everything that we've been hearing about the, what great chemistry the team has, which it does seem like they do have that. Even though we kept hearing about that last year too, at the beginning.
Well, so that's what I wanted to bring up now. That was one point that you've made from the beginning, is that we always hear, like, it doesn't matter what the season is. It probably doesn't even matter which team it is. I mean, these are stories that get floated out from team paid journalists every single season, that the chemistry is good and the guys love each other. And so, you know, you can't really take too much stock in it, especially, I mean, Kevin Acey's not a paid journalist, but he doesn't work for the Padres, but indirectly, you know, he's associated with 1090, and right now the 1090 is the Padres flagship. But anyways, so yeah, that was my first thought, like, oh, this chemistry thing is bullshit. So I went looking for like a very similar piece from last year, and I couldn't really find one. But I did. Okay, so in the AC article, Norris, he quotes Derek Norris, and he quotes Norris as saying this. This is from the current article that we're talking about. "We're having fun with each other. It took a long time last year to warm up to each other." So that's what he says this season. And so I went looking for, like, basically him or someone else saying basically the same thing last season. And I found an interview that he did with Jim Rome on June 12th of last season, which was 3 days before Buddy got fired. But he says the following with Jim Rome last season: "I've definitely noticed here in the past 3 or 4 weeks, it's gotten a lot better. More cards are being played in the clubhouse, not so much sitting at your locker and playing on your phone." So, I don't know. I think Derek Norris is one of the more, at least as a fan, I perceive him to be one of the more honest guys that you could talk to. And he'd be someone who would give you a genuine opinion. And I think, like, his in his interview with Jim Rome, he's kind of saying, like, yeah, like, the beginning of the season, we kind of, like, we weren't gelling. And if you take Norris as an honest guy, and in AC's article, he's saying, yeah, like, we're having fun with each other. It's better than last year. Like, it seems to be pretty consistent. So I don't know. At least from my limited, little research there, it seems like maybe for the players too. Like, this season, the chemistry's better.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that it would be better. Just considering that a lot of these players have just simply spent more time with each other. But at the same time, dude, let's not forget, like, last spring training, what was all the talk about basketball? The like the 3-point shootouts that they were having, and how Kemp was like a ray of sunlight during spring training, and it was all this talk, like, it was, we were hyped up into, like, this team is in such great spirits going into the season. So I agree that I do think the chemistry is better, but at the same time, we do tend to hear that a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that at all. And more importantly, like, what the fuck does it really matter? If our chemistry is good, and this will lead into the last question. If our chemistry is good, and we lose, 100 games, like, what does that mean? Does that have any value going forward? Like, we can talk about it because we like to observe the team and we like to observe the players, and we think that the interactions that we can witness are interesting. But what the fuck does it really matter? If we're going to lose 90 games or 100 games this season. So that was another thing that AC brings up at the end of his, well, I think it's at the beginning as well as the end, but he says, "Nothing we see this Padres season is pertinent to this Padres season, but we must be watching for what will be." And that got me thinking, so if we're going to have a losing season, is there any value in clubhouse chemistry or the team being fun to watch? Like, does it matter that the team is playing well or that it's fun to watch? Does it matter that we have good chemistry? Is there anything in of value that we can take to future seasons? Like, why not just be fucking terrible, have terrible chemistry, and just tank and get the first draft pick? Lomo,
Bush. No, I'm kidding. No, chemistry has a lot to do with it, I think. And I honestly just think there's no pressure. Like, there's no pressure with the players or anything. There's no tense moments.
Yeah, but so what is that? You what know, is that? What does that do for future seasons? Like, if there's no tense moments and we still lose 90 games because we're just not that good, does it have any value for next season that the chemistry is good?
If we're improving as the season goes on, then yeah.
I mean, I think that is that's a good point. That part of the reason why there might be better chemistry on this team is because players aren't playing with the same pressure that they were playing with last season. They were not playing up to expectations, and they knew they were not playing up to expectations, and perhaps that created a more tense environment, and there was the whole like, you know, there was also like AJ as far as like, dude, this guy's crazy, like he'll trade anyone any day. no one, you know, he kind of had that wild card. You know, he was establishing that kind of reputation about him. Where now that might be the case. Like these players, the expectation is not there, and that's why they're a lot more relaxed with each other. They're having more fun with each other. But to the question of, well, what value is there in that? If they are, because this team is pretty fun to watch. Like I actually have been pretty enjoyable lately. And if that's the case, that's the value in it for me, is that I can sit back and have a beer and watch the game, and it's not they're not atrocious to watch, even though we're not, you know, even though we win one here and we lose one there, and it's not leading to a winning season, but just the fact that they are enjoyable to watch. How many seasons was it, like 2-3 seasons ago, that we finished the season pretty, like we started off horribly and finished strong, and there was and we were pretty pumped up about the upcoming season because we finished on such a strong note. Do you remember that? That was like,
well, that was Bud Black's MO, was that's what every season was. We were always slow to get started and finish strongly when it didn't really matter anymore.
Yeah, you're right. And I guess at the end of every season, we always said, you know, these last 2 months have been some of the best Padre baseball, like funnest Padre baseball to watch in a long time. But I guess that's the value in it. And I'm going to say something that I know many people would disagree with. And I know it sounds foolish, but I'm still kind of watching this team thinking that we might do something this season.
Same here.
You're not the only one. I feel the same way.
But we're part of the, like the intelligent fans. They're not watching, and for good reason. You know, they're looking at the bigger picture, and have kind of already and understandably have given up on this season. I don't know, dude. I can't bring myself to do that. And with every game that we lose, or with every game that we win, or every game that we lose, where we kind of we put up a good fight, I can't help but think, you know what? This team might, like, things might start clicking next series, and that's how I keep going. I keep thinking, you know what? Maybe next series, things we might just get rolling.
Well, there's a San Diego statement next time.
right.
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, and there's nothing wrong with, like, that's, like, I don't think, I think in a lot of ways this team is playing better than we did last season, and I do think that they are enjoyable to watch. I don't think that we're going to come close to any type of success. But
fuck you.
But there's nothing wrong in thinking that the way that Manny described. I mean, it'll cause a bunch of fucking arguments on Twitter if you say that, you know, this team might do something. But that's the way that this particular fan wants to approach the game and wants to think about the team. And, like, you know, people might be like, oh, that's selfish. Like, they should just tank so we can be better next year. But hey, man, we're not the players. Like, we're just fans, and we can approach the game in any way we want to.
I just think it's funny how they, like, you know, Padres are in last place, but literally, if you look at it, by the end of the week, we could be in first place or tied for first.
Yeah, no, Matt. I mean, obviously,
like, we're not that far out. Yeah.
No, because our division's not good.
Exactly. So that's why I think, like, I wouldn't be surprised if we're, like, tied for first or going for first by All-Star Weekend.
I mean, which is so common. It's like this emotional roller coaster of you know, because just when I'm feeling that way, when I'm feeling this hope of, like, you know what, maybe this team has something. Like, maybe we might pull off a historic Cinderella season here that no one expected to happen. And then how many games ago was it that we could have easily tied we had bases loaded with no outs. And first comes up Dino, strikes out like a fucking scrub. Who came up next? Was it, I think, Alexi, maybe? Melvin comes up, pops up in the infield. And I forget who comes up next and strikes out. That's right. That's why we're not going anywhere.
Well, we can't fucking sweep a series. I mean, we won two games against the Mets, made them look stupid, played fun baseball, and we just choated it. And that's happened. Am I correct that we have not swept a series this season?
Yeah.
And that's what makes that's what you're describing. And if we swept a couple series, things would be better.
Puds, 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 puds.
Hey, it's me, Fernando Rodney. You know me, right? I wear my cap sideways like a silly boy, and I like to make the rooster sound to make my friends laugh because I like to have fun.
Hey, yeah, he does. Hey, I'm Will Myers, and I don't wear batting gloves.
That's true, he doesn't wear the gloves. But let's talk about me more. I make the fast pitch, I do the strikeout, I say the day for the San Diego team every time. And you know what comes next.
Oh yeah, here it comes, guys.
Haha, yeah, I shoot the arrow through the sky, papi. I shoot it through the left field, I shoot it through the right field.
Yeah, Fernando, that's where the Semper Energy sign is.
Yeah, I shoot that too. I don't shoot the screen because it's too big and that's too easy for me, man.
Way too easy for you, Fernando. Way too easy.
Will knows. He's my good friend. He come from the first base and he say, hey, where the arrow go? And I say, I tell him sometimes, but sometimes I lie to him. Because guess what? I don't really shoot an arrow. It's all just pretend.
What? Yeah, right, Fernando. If it were pretend, then how come I actually see it and I point to it right where it hits?
I don't know, man. Maybe because you're just loco. But that's okay because after we win, we go to the place of the real arrow. The Arrow Club. Our favorite place to go to the party.
Oh my god, dude. We love the Arrow Club. It's on India Street in Mission Hills, and it's the only bar where you can play Podspot on the jukebox. Arrow Club is totally the best bar in town, Poppy.
Yeah, Poppy, I don't know what's the pot spot, but I like it because its name is Arrow. Just like me, because I shoot the arrow.
Yeah, you do, Fernando. I like to play darts at Arrow Club because it feels like I'm shooting an arrow just the way Fernando does in real life.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody loves me, Fernando Rodney. So go to the Arrow Club. It's where I go, and it's the best place to watch the Padres game. But just remember, when I don't play, we lose. We lose like Puerto Ricans, we lose like Democrats. But when I play, we win. Like Dominican Republicans. Tú ya sabes.
Whoa, that's so true.
Arrow Club, baby.
Arrow Club, baby. Poppy?
Putz, 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 putz.
You guys, we're 35 minutes in. Are we gonna fuck with Mark ass bitch?
If we're 35 minutes in, I mean, I guess that's that.
Yeah. But I want to do more. I'm having fun.
All right. Well, then let's just do it.
Okay, let's do it. Hey, if you guys don't want to listen anymore, just like it's really not that hard. Just turn the podcast off.
Or don't. Okay?
Or don't. We really don't care. All right.
But just think about what you're doing. before you do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So for the second and final segment, which may or may not be a good idea, we're going to play a game called Mark Ass Bitch. Explain Mark Ass Bitch and how we're going to play it, little Manny. It's a little Manny.
Well, so I don't know, at some point I realized how we have a few marks, like there's Mark Grant and Mark Sweeney, and then they were talking about Mark McGuire, and I realized, like, yeah, we have all these marks, so I thought we should go through and talk about which one of the marks on the team were marks for and which ones are marks.
Yeah, but you have to explain what it means to be a mark for someone and what it means to be a mark.
So, according to UrbanDictionary.com, a mark is a soft, non-tough person. A person identified as an easy target or a sucker. A mark is always the short end of a joke or scam and is never let in on what's going on. A mark is usually being cheated out of money. And a mark is the worst type of bitch. I'm just reading Urban Dictionary. Not too long ago, I heard someone explain that in life there's two types of people. There's people with chalk in their hand, with the chalk in their hand, and there's people with an X on their back. Which made me think. So, people with an X on the back, those are the marks of this world. So, I think we're all marks here in one way or another, but it depends on, you know, we're all huge marks for the Padres. We've thrown away a bunch of money into this team, and we've basically been duped into doing that. I think Lil Mo, I'm sorry to say, but you're probably the biggest mark in history, in Padre history.
Yeah, I did buy season tickets.
Yeah, how much did you spend on those?
About 500.
And how many games did you go to?
Two.
So that's like quintessential mark right there. But really, all it is a mark. I just call marks anyone who I don't like, and that's okay. Really all it is.
All right, I'm gonna go by that with my pick.
And people who you do like, you're a mark for them.
Okay, so if I don't like Barry Bonds, he is a mark.
Yeah, but you can just call him a mark just to insult him.
Right, but if I have a soft spot in my heart for Ted Leitner, I would say I'm a mark for Ted Leitner.
Yeah, because if Ted Leitner, if you saw Ted Leitner, and he said, "Hey, want to come have lunch with me?" And like you were on you're supposed to like do something, you'd probably give up what you were doing to go have lunch with Ted Leitner, right?
Right. I would be a victim for his. I would be a victim to whatever he wanted me to do because I love him so much.
Yeah, exactly.
So I would go to DZ Akins with him, even if I hate DZ Akins.
Do you really hate DZ Akins?
Well, you're the reason that I now have a negative feeling about DZ Akins, because when I came to visit you in New York. And I went to Cat's Deli. I realized how shitty DZ Akins is. And actually, funny story. When I went to Cat's with Jenica, my wife, we were sitting down and we were eating. And the owner of Cat's, which is a New York deli, I'm sorry I didn't explain that. That's really famous. Manny could explain it better, but I'm telling the story. So the owner is coming around and schmoozing people. Schmoozing is a word that we use sometimes. And he's just, you know, he's schmoozing people, talking to them and everything. And he comes up to our table. He's like, "Oh, is your food good?" And I'm like, "Yeah, it's great." He said, "Oh, where are you from?" And I said, "I'm from San Diego." He goes, "Oh, do you know DZ Akins?" And I was like, "Oh, yeah. Like, I grew up really close to DZ Akins. My grandma loves it. We go there, you know, fairly often." And he goes, he kind of like rolls his eyes and goes like, "Yeah, like my relatives are out in San Diego." He kind of just does one of those things like DZ Akins sucks. And he was right. Like the delis in New York are far better than DZ Aikens. But Ted Leitner likes it and he supports them. And I love Ted Leitner. I'm a mark for Ted Leitner. So it's not all that bad. But the food could be better.
Pickles are good.
Yes, and they're free. Most importantly, I'm a mark for free things. Okay, let's get going. First of all, so we're gonna, Manny explain that perfectly. We're gonna run through several famous Padres with the first name of Mark, and you guys have to decide whether they are a mark or whether you are a mark for them. And we got to do this quick because people want to go. They want to leave. Okay, first one. The newest Padre mark, Mark McGwire. Anyone have a strong opinion on this? Otherwise, I'm just going to call you out.
No.
Manny, Mark McGwire, is he a mark or are you a mark for him?
I am not a mark for Mark McGwire.
So Mark McGwire is a mark?
Yeah, I'd say why? So. He's a mark for himself. He walks around. I don't know what it is about that guy. I guess I've always been Team Sosa. In the home run battle, I was Team. Which, by the way, what were all you guys like? Were you guys just fans of what was going on, or did you pick a side?
I was Team Mark McGwire.
Oh,
I was just a fan.
Team Sosa.
Nice. Yeah. I was definitely Team Sammy Sosa. And so I've just never really liked him. I don't know why. I get why people do like him, but when he came and got Andy Green the couple weeks ago when Andy Green was barking at the blue, the way he walked out there, dude, he just like thinks he, I don't know, I got this impression like he just thought he was the hottest stuff ever. He was like looking into the stands with this like yeah, I'm Mark McGwire, guys. I don't know why I think that. Maybe it's just his perfectly trimmed beard. I'm just not a fan. And recently, I was listening to the chain Make the Padres Great Again. And they went on this whole thing on Ken Caminiti, which I love the show. I love Make the Padres Great Again, but I strongly disagree with their hate towards Ken Caminiti. And I think it's so ridiculous to only shit on people who've been caught for steroids. He just admitted to it. I wouldn't doubt that Mark McGwire did any less steroids than Ken Caminiti did in his career. As did many others. Which actually, okay. I don't know why I brought that up. I don't even have a problem with players doing steroids, but if people are gonna rail on other players for it, I would hope that they would rail on Mark McGwire just as much.
All right, so according to Manny, Mark McGwire is a fucking mark. Anybody else have a strong opinion about that before we move to the next mark?
No, okay. I agree with everything Manny said.
Mark Grant. For me, Mark Grant is, I am an absolute mark for Mark Grant. He is God in my opinion. He is everything that is good about baseball, and he makes all of these losing seasons and frustration okay. And so for me, Mark Grant is a legend. I mean, for me, Mark Grant should be mentioned in the same breath as Ted Leitner, and I know this is blasphemy, but if he stays for longer, you know, another decade or so, Gerry Coleman. I mean, Mark Grant he makes me happy, and he has done so for a long time, especially when he had his partnership with Matty V, and I think that we've got something excellent brewing with Don Orsillo. So Mark Grant, I am a mark for you. Anybody else have an opinion about Mark Grant?
I'm a mark for Mark Grant. Like you said, he just makes you happy. Everything about him is just great. Shitty game, and you're like, oh, you're listening to him. It's like, all right, it was a shitty game, but at least he brought something a little more positive to it.
Yeah, exactly. He helps fans like us who want to look on the bright side of the Padres achieve that goal. Yeah. He's just and it's not just fluff. It's not just being a dummy and stuff. He's very intelligent. He's a former pitcher. He adds a lot of that to the game as well. I agree.
I think that's what gets underrated. Yeah, I'm a super mark for Mark Grant, and I think how can you actually? I know someone who doesn't like him, which is odd to me. But I think he's underrated in that he does provide intelligent insight. But I think that gets overshadowed by the fact that he's like silly. He's a goofball.
Right.
But that's what makes him so great. And everyone you put next to him, he does well with them. He creates this kind of like this comfortable, atmosphere in the booth. And I love his like dorky slang words that he uses all the time.
And he's so personable with people in social media. He responds to people who say nice things about him and even people who say negative things about him.
People talk crap to him on social media?
Yeah, man. People, wow. I mean, I don't think that it's commonplace, but I've seen it, and it's fucking Twitter, man. It takes all kinds, and I've seen negative things said about him, and he responds in a joking manner. he's a perfect human being. Okay, next. Shoot, we're running. Okay, we're gonna have to cut this one short. Mark Loretta, are you a mark for Mark Loretta, or is Mark Loretta a mark? Lomo, what do you think?
He's a mark.
What?
Look, obviously he was a great Padres player, but all right, like I used to be really into baseball like back in 2005, and I remember during the month of May we had like this great run. We were winning like 6 games in a row, lose one game, win another 6, lose another one, but we just go on these winning streaks. And I remember, I think it was against the Braves, this fucker slides into first base and breaks his thumb and is out for like 2 months. And the Padres had like, they had a okay June, but that July they only won like 8 games, and fuck Mark on that.
Between that and your Tony Gwynn story, man. Is there anyone else here that thinks Mark Loretta is a mark?
No way.
Nope.
No, he's what we've been missing, man. He's what we've been missing.
Well, it was just that one play, man. That's all it takes.
No, I respect your opinion, because the fact that, like I said, we talked about this before the show started. I would never have remembered that until the day that I died, and you brought that up, and I very clearly remember that, and it was kind of a big deal at the time about him sliding headfirst into first base, and it was a dumb decision. And I respect that opinion, at least. It's well grounded in something.
I mean, when you think about it, like, yeah, that's only a mark would slide headfirst into first base. Only a mark for being safe.
He was such a solid player, such a solid player.
Yeah,
and so so ordinary looking.
Yeah, and he's cool. Like I love listening to him today. He seems like a type of guy that just gets it.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I guess we're gonna have to call him Mark because that's his first name. Okay. Yeah. All right, guys. We had some more marks on the list, but if we really, I mean, we're Mark Kotze. Anybody? We got him in 2002 through 2000. I think through the 2004 season. He was our star player in some really bad teams in 2002 and 2003. Then he came back when he was at the tail end of his career. Hashtag that's so Padres. I'm definitely a mark for Mark Kotze. You guys, anyone think Mark Kotze is a mark?
Nah, dude. Mark Hutsey's a man.
We all loved Eric Owens so much. And Mark Hutsey came over in the Eric Owens trade. We traded Eric Owens and Matt Clement. You guys remember Matt Clement?
Yeah.
For Mark Hutsey and I think Cesar Crespo, if that rings a bell. But I never thought I could love, you know, an outfielder more than Eric Owens at the time. But Mark Hutsey, he supplanted that very, very nicely for me. And he'll always be a special Padre player in my heart. Always tried. That's all we ask.
Mark Hutsey never stole home, though.
That's true. That's true. And he never had a dirty jersey giveaway at Qualcomm Stadium. We should save all this talk for a future episode, though. In a future episode, we're going to discuss our Padres' lovable loser team of the 21st century, all the worst Padre players who you loved in the 21st century. And I have a feeling Eric Owens might show up on that list. So let's stop. But one more, Marcus Giles. Brother to a free dick swinging, tanned,
fucking steroid munching, girlfriend beating
Brian Giles. Again, hashtag that's so Padres, getting the brothers together, getting the fucking hometown discount. Marcus Giles picking up a player on the downside of his career, all of us assuming he's going to return to his former glory. He sucked. He is a mark, as far as I'm concerned. Marcus Giles, any other opinions?
I mean, he's a mark by association to his brother. I wouldn't go as far as... We have a buddy who is adamant that Brian Giles is the worst Padre of all time. I wouldn't necessarily agree. But Brian Giles is you know, not the best Padre of all time either. and just being Brian's little brother, I don't know. Just when you just mentioned Marcus Giles, the fact that we all laugh is just kind of says it all. Not so much about him, I guess. More so about us.
he was really bad. He wasn't good. All right. That's it. We're done. Right?
Hey, Lil Mo, you got a stat for us?
Yeah, man. You guys ready? Or...
Yeah.
I thought there was going to be this like huge buildup for it, but all right. Stat. Numbers. Boy. Statistics.
Yay!
The Padres have a head-to-head winning percentage only against three NL teams, one of them being the Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to sweep them.
Ooh!
Who are the other two?
The Mets and the Marlins.
Is this for our history?
Yes, all time.
Jesus Christ.
I was going to add the AL teams, but I could say the Royals, just, you know, but... The Royals and the Angels.
World Series champs.
Yep. Yeah. So we're better than them.
All right. Let's end the show. We want to watch the ninth inning. We're up 1-0 against the Chicago Cubs in the third game of the series, the closing of the doubleheader. We want to watch this game come to a conclusion and the Padres win the game. So bye, motherfuckers. Pod's pod. We're done. Say bye, guys.
Bye, guys. Then it's easy to drown. Just learn how to float in there to keep you around. The industry is saying you should make that sound, that one hit one. I think that went fairly okay. I'm a real fly dresser, true rap spitter. End of the day, I'm just a cool ass nigga. If you make a moves, I can do that with you. But if you just sit and kind of do that with you. Just for the record, I would die for my records. They say we too reckless. I say they too.
verify I did it. This ain't Twitter, this is Rilla. We lyrical gorillas. I was listening to Dilla way before I was a Dilla. So I'ma gather green before I start showing.
Pods, 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 pods.